Hello, this is The Couch. Welcome. ABC Radio National's weekly small screen guide is what it is. This is the very first episode. I'm Jason DeRosso, host of The Screen Show. And joining me on The Couch in this first episode and every week to tell us about what's new and notable on streaming and TV is ABC Radio National's TV critic, Wenli Ma. Welcome to The Couch, Wenli.
Hey, hey, happy to be here.
Sit yourself down. Let's press play on something. And what's up first? This is one of the most notable and perhaps most acclaimed TV series of the year so far. It is a twist on Jane Austen.
Your dress is striking.
Feel a little bold in it.
You're in London. If you're going to be bold, here is the place to do it.
We should sweep away these tired old rules. Follow our inclinations as we wish.
I think you will find that the liberty in such situations tends to be enjoyed by the man.
Now perhaps you're right.
I know I am.
Okay, this is called The Other Bennet Sister. Take us through this.
This is adorable. So it came out a couple of months ago, but it only just finished in Australia. And it was one of those shows that, you know, I watched a few episodes at the start. And I was like, this is really promising. I like this. And then as it went on week to week and when it wrapped, I was like, I love this show. For all the Pride and Prejudice heads, all the Austen heads out there, you might very well know Mary Bennet as the unremarkable of the Bennet sisters. She's not apparently clever or pretty or, you know, vivacious. She's the forgotten sister. But this series, which was based on a novel, it's a retelling, a reclamation, if you will, of Mary Bennet's story, in which that she gets to live her own adventures and we get to meet the Bennet sister that was largely forgotten.
Yeah. Do you think how much of a sort of feminist retelling of Austen is this? I mean, some people sustain that sort of Austen was already pretty feminist. I mean, you know, what is this doing? What's the twist on Austen, do you think, that works? Or
I mean, very much the case that Jane Austen, even writing those stories and centering women's concerns and stories in the Regency era, was feminist because people weren't doing that. They just thought, you know, why would you tell the story of a woman? Like, what does she do that is in any way, you know, to be remarked on? But I like that this is an evolution of Austen's story because Mary Bennet, you know, she is originally, she's looking to be married and have a husband, like all of Austen's stories. Yeah, yeah. But this is a story about a woman who needs to find herself first before she can go out and really, you know, try and live up to the expectations of what society has of her, but especially her overbearing mother. We might remember Mrs. Bennet as being certainly in today's social mores a problematic woman. But this, you know, she is smart. She's very well read. She's a great conversationalist. And she goes out and she meets these new people who give her a confidence and a sense of where she might fit into a world that she thought she didn't belong to.
Yeah, it's kind of, I've seen a bit of this and I think it definitely holds up with like the films and certainly the TV adaptations of Jane Austen that we've already seen, don't you think? I mean, and it's pretty funny, I think, in a dry way.
Very much so. And it is tonally in line with all those adaptations and with Austen's writing as well, which is very funny for all the people who haven't read it do. So I think, you know, it sits within the tradition of Austen, but at the same time, it sits within 2026. It very much sits within our time of we're not really interested in watching another story about a Regency woman who is only looking to be married, even though actually that is what all of Bridgerton is basically about.
This is like maybe the anti-Bridgerton in a way. I mean, do you think, how does it sort of stand against something like Bridgerton?
I mean, it's definitely not as soapy as Bridgerton. I mean, Bridgerton, beautifully produced and some seasons are better than others, is very much kind of a soap opera.
Yeah.
And this, I think, just is a little more grounded, is even a little bit more realistic, but it's so recognisable to us because we've had all these touch points of this particular world.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a really great dry British sensibility, I think. And as I say, from what I've seen, it's really funny. Okay, that's The Other Bennet Sister, 10 episodes, all streaming over at Binge. Okay, next up, yet another action thriller from a big streamer with very big shoes to fill for the lead actor. Tell us about Man on Fire.
Yeah, this is Man on Fire, which you might remember as a 2004 Denzel Washington movie that Tony Scott had directed. But I was actually surprised to learn that that was not the first iteration
One in the 80s, isn't there?
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of South, there's an Indian adaptation as well, and a Tamil language adaptation. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, so this is what Hollywood likes to call IP, intellectual property. There was a Scott Glenn movie in the 1980s, and it's based on a book that was written in 1980. But I do think Man on Fire is one of those stories that, you know, you don't go and watch a new Man on Fire story because you know Man on Fire. Like, it's not Reacher, it's not Jack Ryan, but it is in that vein. So you've got actor Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who's, you know, been in some DC stuff. He was actually in a Marvel series recently, and I know Marvel series and Wonderful doesn't usually go together, but it actually really was good. It was called Wonder Man. And he has this screen presence that I find so magnetic, because I think, you know, for any actor, especially black actor, to go, I'm going to play this role that Denzel Washington played. Like, that's a huge challenge. It's got to be a little bit intimidating. And I think he does it incredibly well. So the basic storyline is he's a former special forces, in this case, a CIA agent who went through a traumatic experience. He has, you know, crippling PTSD, and he gets caught up in this plot. In this version, it's in Brazil. In previous versions, it's been in Mexico City and Italy. He finds himself basically trying to protect the teenage daughter of his former friend whose family have been killed.
Let's hear a bit of it.
He's not leaving until the people hunting the girl are dead.
Are you going to kill him?
Just talk to him. I know that this is hard, but we're going to put all of our emotions behind us. I promise.
This has all the, you know, explosive ingredients, surrogate father-daughter relationship, mm-hmm. revenge plot line. Does it lean into the current trend, I suppose, of black comedy with ultra-violence, or does it lean away from that?
It's definitely not that funny. It is very much part of that pantheon, if you will, of, you know, muscular kind of dad shows. But I do think there's a bit more to this, because you do have a character who, over the 7 episodes, sort of unpeels himself, because he's very, like, very held in at the beginning. And then you get to see this evolution. And I also think that some of those other shows, The Night Agent comes to mind, doesn't have gravitas that I think Abdul-Mateen can bring to it. So I think it's pretty solid for that genre.
Yeah, he. You do believe that he's this tough special ops guy who's maybe gone to sea just a little bit.
Just like, a bit.
You know, he's got quite a, he's a chunky silhouette.
He's hefty. Like,
yeah.
He's
you
empty.
Wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to face him.
You believe his punches.
You wouldn't want to steal his or do anything nasty to his surrogate daughter, as it were. All right. Well, let's go from Man on Fire, all 7 episodes streaming on Netflix, to another pick this week of yours, which I haven't seen and don't know much about, and it has a one-word title. I'm going to play a little bit before we get to it. The one-word title is Kevin, and it's an animation, and I want you to imagine that the first voice you hear is actually a cat.
So, what's up, party people? No rush, but I'm a little late for the sun hitting my favorite part of the rug.
Kevin?
I think we should sit down.
Dan and I are breaking up.
Okay. Tell us about Kevin.
Kevin is a cat. He's an anthropomorphic cat that is voiced by Jason Schwartzman. And he is a house cat, and he lives with this couple. And then they say, yeah, we're getting divorced. He's kind of like the kid who's faced with separating parents. But instead of, you know, taking it in his stride, he decides that this is now his time to strike out on his own, see what else is out in the world. And he leaves both. He decides he's not going to go with either of them and decides to, you know, go out into the mean streets of New York City, ends up at this animal rescue shelter with some of the most, like, bonkers characters that I would personally never adopt.
Are these other animals that he meets?
Other animals, other cats, other dogs, a rat pretending to be a dog, a Russian rat named Peter.
Does he interact with humans much?
He does. And in this world, humans can understand all the animals. So they're not like being anthropomorphic behind our backs. It's just this weird interaction that you have to accept. It's a little bit spiky because the co-creators are Aubrey Plaza, who is, of course, from Parks and Recreation and other things, and Joe Wengert, who has worked on things like Big Mouth. Yeah, it can be uncomfortable at times, and it's very much in that realm of adult animation that isn't always going to make sense from a story perspective, but it's just whether or not you want to go along with these characters who are often quite unlikable.
Is this a kind of bonkers in a way that you're sort of watching at 11 p.m. maybe on a Saturday night, the kids have gone to bed, or you've maybe just come out from being out and it's 2 a.m. or something? Do you put it on at that time of day?
Yes, exactly. Unless you've just come home from a horror movie and you need something soothing, this is not soothing.
And the animation?
Very much in the realm of your Rick and Morty's, your BoJack Horseman, which I think still remains for me like the gold standard of adult animation. It's not as good as that, but, you know, it's diverting.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. We've really gone through three real staple genres, I feel. Mm. A kind of Jane Austen dry comedy in The Other Bennett Sister, an action revenge series, really, with Man on Fire. And finally, yeah, a bit of adult animation. They seem to be staples, all of them, really, of streaming these days.
Yeah, and I think especially with something like adult animation, you know, we weren't getting that before, but because streaming gives people the commissioning budgets to go and do everything that was niche is now mainstream.
All right, so Kevin is streaming over at Prime Video, if you want to catch that. And that is it from us on the couch, Wenli Ma. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it there, out there in listener land.
The couch was a little bit lumpy, but we'll try again next week.
We'll try and get a better one next week. Yeah, my I don't know, not enough lumbar support on my lower back. All right, we'll be back next week with another couch. Thanks, Wenli Ma, and my name's Jason DeRosso. See you again soon.